Let's try that again. Good morning. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. What are you doing? Okay, but here's the deal. When there's nobody here, everything will pick up. Okay? Welcome. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. And Lord, even though we're not able to meet in person due to the virus that's spreading across our land, Lord, we do meet together in spirit. Lord, and we just ask for your presence in our lives as we go through these trying times. Lord, we ask for you to heal our land. And really even the whole world, Lord, from this disease. But Lord, we also ask that you would turn our country back to you. And Lord, that you would be an ever-present help as people turn to you. And Lord, we know that that all things work together for good. And so we just pray that even you would use this virus to bring our nation back to following you, remembering the things that matter the most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning as we talk about things that matter most and our lives are distracted by this illness that's sweeping across our nation, I want to remind us about keeping our priorities on the most important things. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks this question, says, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end, it answers, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So what does that mean? What does it mean to glorify God and enjoy him forever? Well, to glorify God means to praise or magnify or honor God in worship or to ascribe to him the honor that he is due in thoughts or words. So when we glorify God, we honor him as God and are thankful to him and we praise him for what he has done. What about enjoying God? Enjoyment means to feel or perceive with pleasure, or to take pleasure or satisfaction in the possession or experience of. As we experience our walk with God, and for Christians, as we take pleasure in the promises that he's given to us, the promise of salvation, we perceive pleasure. We perceive that our life has meaning. We perceive that the age to come, when we go to heaven to be with him, there will be pleasure, and that gives us encouragement and hope. You know, it's interesting, the Westminster Shorter Catechism was completed in 1647 by the Westminster Assembly, and just 20 years later, in 1665, a plague broke out in London where it was written. It was caused by a bacteria. It killed one-fourth of the city over 2 years. In the second year, there was a fire in London that destroyed most of the civic buildings. It destroyed the old St. Paul's Cathedral, 87 churches, and about 13,000 houses. Horrible tragedy. But tragedies happen. But the words that were written in the Westminster Shorter Catechism were as true in 1666 and 1665 as they were in 1647 when they were written. They are as true in London, England, as they are in Parkston, South Dakota, and everywhere else around the world. Psalms 86:9 says, all nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. God wants every nation to glorify Him. But for Christians, it is especially true that our purpose is to glorify God. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 6:20, says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." When we receive salvation, when we pray and ask God to forgive us, and we commit our life to serving Him as our Lord and Savior, we become redeemed, and we are bought at a price. And therefore, Paul says that we have the rest of this life to live out serving God, living as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, he talks about in Romans chapter 12, that we are a living sacrifice, and that's our reasonable worship. And therefore, Paul concludes in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says, "Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." God wants us to glorify Him in all that we do. Well, what about enjoying God? What does that look like? In Psalm 16:8 through 11, David says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." David put his confidence in God. He didn't put it in himself. He didn't put it in his abilities or his body. He put it in God. He trusted God. He followed God. And that brought joy to his life, an anchor to his soul. In Psalms 144, it says, "Blessed be the rock, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you are, that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning, and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows, and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me, and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, and that our sheep may bring forth thousands and tens of thousands in our fields, and that our oxen may be well laden, and that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." When we put God first, then God causes everything to fall into place. Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." Now, that doesn't mean we won't have trials and tribulations in this world. But the reality is, when we keep the most important thing, the most important thing, then God causes us to experience joy even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of tribulation. As Christians, we have received by faith the gift of God's salvation. And therefore, we have a different perspective on this life. We are living this life for God, but our focus is on what is to come. We realize that eternity is a long time, and that's how long we're going to be in God's presence. As children of God, we will live with Him forever. And so that gives us a different perspective on this life. Now, today we live in a time of great fear. But I want to recognize that faith and fear are both believing something about the future. And as Christians, our job is to put our faith and trust in Him, in God, that His promises are true, and that whatever trials we face in this life, His word will still stand. And so we do not need to fear the present, because we have greater promises about the future. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I want to challenge you this morning, where is your hope? We talked before about how hope is what we believe is going to come true. And faith is what we're doing about it right now. I hope that you're still putting your faith and hope in Jesus Christ and not allowing this disease to distract us from that most important thing. Psalm 27:1, David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" There's a lot of scripture verses in the Bible about fear, how God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And today we ought to use that sound mind to take precautions and to prepare for the unknown. But even in our preparations and even in our taking precautions, we must remember our faith. We must remember that God is in control. Just one chapter later, David says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. And therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him." I'm hoping that today you are putting your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that the Lord is your strength and your shield. I would highly encourage you to spend time in prayer, worshiping God, but also spend time singing songs of praise as a family, as an individual. We need to make sure that what is coming into our mind and into our hearts are worshipful songs of praise, keeping our mind focused on the glory and wonder of who God is. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That verse has been repeated so many times. Sometimes we almost tune it out as soon as we start to listen. But it is a true promise. This world is full of disease, conflict, pain, heartache, and hurt. But the promise is that God is going to bring us into a new world, into His presence, that when we leave this body, we will be with the Lord forever. And there will be no more tears. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. And so we can be of good cheer as we go through the trials and tribulations of this world, knowing that what is in store for us is something so much greater than what we have here today. But while we do live, we have a purpose. We have a purpose to glorify God, to enjoy Him, to love Him, and to love others. And so even in this time of social distancing or separation, don't forget to check in on your neighbors. Don't forget to show love to them. If you have some elderly neighbors, maybe ask them if you can run errands for them or different things like that. But think of ways that even during this time, you can share God's love with those around you. Also remember that laughter is important. A merry heart is good medicine. So remember to share time with your family. Share joy with your family. It's so important. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. It reminds us that even while we walk through difficult times, Lord, times of where we don't know what's going to happen, Lord, we know that You know, and we know that we are in Your hands. So, Lord, help us to stay focused on serving You and loving You. Lord, help us to not be overwhelmed or overcome by fear. But, Lord, help us to overcome fear with faith, trusting in You and walking according to Your ways. In Jesus' name we pray.